Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleMania 40 Night 2 review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by another one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to review everything that happened on Night 2 of WrestleMania 40. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw but also SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions and a roundup of the week complete with a very good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, they're joined by Michael Sidgwick to review Night 2 of WrestleMania 40. Michael Sidgwick, was this the best Night 2 of WrestleMania ever?
Yeah, you got your bullet point in, brother. Low bar, cleared it, that's faint praise. I had such a great time at Night 2 of WrestleMania. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Only six matches, two of which I didn't like, but the four, in very different ways, were just really, really, really good to great. And I just, you'd settled in, you knew what was kind of coming, the interest built from night one. I had a fabulous time at night two, I really did.
Yeah, it was just such an amazing night and an unforgettable main event that we will get to in due course. But we have to start at the beginning of the night because we had one of the best openers in WrestleMania history here as well. It was Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. And we almost got a title switch straight away.
Yeah.
A claymore straight out the gate from Drew McIntyre, who had... Well, both him and Seth had brilliant entrances as well to start the show. You just really sense, after Stephanie McMahon had been out there, a real big aura, a big opening to night two of WrestleMania. Of course, we had CM Punk come out just before the start of the show proper as well to go on commentary for this match. And yes, we'll get back to him. There was a pedigree in front of commentary by Seth Rollins, who was obviously selling the after effects of not just the match from night one, but the knee in particular that Drew also targeted. There was a stomp from Seth immediately after that pedigree when he got Drew back in the ring for a two count. A claymore into a pedigree and a stomp for two as well. The future shock DDT, just to rub salt in the wound to CM Punk from Drew McIntyre. That only gets two. They go and set stuff up on the tables on the outside, the commentary tables, and then we had Seth hitting a stomp on the table, but once he gets back in the ring, out of nowhere, Drew McIntyre fires back with a claymore, and then he just hits another huge claymore once Seth has climbed slowly back to his feet to get the 1, 2, 3. Drew McIntyre is your new World Heavyweight Champion, despite the fact obviously he's been very heelish in this. There was a lovely moment with fans chanting that he deserves this, because obviously this is his first big world title win at WrestleMania with people in attendance. He celebrates. There's a great moment just showing how devastated Seth Rollins is, and the two of them looking at each other as Seth Rollins is going up the ramp. But he can't help himself. Can Drew McIntyre, he doesn't just go out to celebrate in front of Punk. He is jawjacking with him. He is taunting him. He is telling him, look, this could have been you. I am the new World Heavyweight Champion. And after about, it felt like about 5 minutes. I'm so excited to go back and actually try and hear what's being said from the two of them. Regardless, CM Punk finally snaps. He's had enough. He, you know, scoops the legs out from under Drew McIntyre. He removes that brace of his and he clobbers Drew McIntyre with it, and I've subsequently seen this. I just love the way this was set up. He drops him, he blows a kiss, and then in that exact moment, I will invoke something that you've been doing a lot on the podcast. I'll hold my hands up. I came into this weekend, I came into the last few weeks saying, keep the Money in the Bank briefcase and Damian Priest as far away from this as possible, because people have pitched insane scenarios about them trying to win the tag belts back immediately after the match is finished, or Rhea wanting to use it, or, you know, Damian Priest failing with the cash in. The moment Drew gets dropped, and you could see where it was going, it was predictable, but as we always say, predictable isn't always bad. You thought, oh my, if Damian Priest music hits here, people are going to go insane. And that's exactly what happened. And you see on Punk's face the realization of, oh, I think I might have been quite involved in causing this, but I'm okay with that. And he simply gets out of the way just in time for Damian Priest to run down and clobber Drew McIntyre with the briefcase. He rolls him back in the ring, simply gets him up with a huge South of Heaven chokeslam. 1, 2, 3. Damian Priest leaves as World Heavyweight Champion. What a start to night two.
What an incredibly well-booked bit of business this was from second one to the last second.
Mm.
The match very quickly first. I loved this for three reasons. One, in and of itself, it was really, 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 really well done. Two, this is a perfect stadium match. In a stadium show, right, if it's the main event and the story's hot and the workers are great enough, the slow pace is kind of what makes it. You're willing to stick the course. When it's not quite the hottest match, hot but not that hot, you just need some lean excitement. No pissing about.
Yes.
No really cagey starts or like grueling attritional mat battles. It just doesn't play. This did. Mm. You evoked brilliantly WrestleMania 28. There was the sense throughout that it could end at any moment. Mm-hmm. There was never, you know, that rhythm of, you like to participate, you like to perform, of 1, 2, 3. There's one or two of those moments in this match, but mainly it was, Christ, this is going to end.
Yes.
Urgent, bomb, finisher, signature, no pissing about whatsoever. What I've really, I'm on this crusade against long wrestling and how not every match needs to be long and not every pay-per-view needs to go 4 hours or whatever. What a wonderful antidote to all of that was. The opener is kind of a lost art. You get it, it's few and far between. The whole idea is you're meant to go 10 minutes, no pissing about, lean, punchy, well-worked action that just gets you fired up instantly. This was that. I absolutely thought it was great. And on the post-match angle, Paul Levesque and Booker, turns out.
Yes.
They took an increasingly imperfect briefcase holder in Damian Priest, so much so that every scenario, right, that people tried to conjure, and I think it was from a good place, some people like Damian Priest and wanted them to see them do well or whatever, this could not have been more perfect. This is high praise for Paul Levesque. I'm in a good mood, I'm in Philadelphia, I will say it. One of my favourite things about AEW, right, isn't just the match quality or the promos, it's when there's a story beat that's done so well, like the Kazuchika Okada full debut joining the Elite, where it's like, I'd never have booked that. You're one step ahead of me, you're better than me at this, and I love that. This was that. To have, we'll see how the rain turns out, but what a start to deftly dovetail it into the Punk and Drew McIntyre stuff. Honestly, this is what a wonderful bit of business. Haven't even discussed the entrances yet.
No.
It was all just magnificent.
And because people were saying, you know, they've announced in recent weeks,
leg swipe as well.
The big WWE show Clash at the Castle in Scotland. People are like, well, Drew needs to win the title there. It's like, well, he can't lose again against
Seth.
They got the best of both worlds. You can have, you know, Drew wanting a rematch against Damian Priest, but maybe he's infatuated now with Punk and what have you.
Punk playing heel in Scotland.
Yes.
I want to see Punk turn heel at some point.
Yes.
Even if it's situational, that would be awesome.
Andy and yourself as
well.
In
Piper country of all places.
Yes.
Piper country of all places. I understand.
And yourself and Andy were saying, you described this as a bomb fest when we were talking
about bomb fest. Like, a great opener. 10 minutes this went. But every PLE pay-per-view opener should go 10 minutes.
And I want to officially crown Drew McIntyre, despite the fact he didn't have a great night all in all. the king of banter,
yes,
for tweeting mid-match bored at work lot whilst he's kicking Seth's ass. I forgot, almost forgot to mention it around ringside.
I almost forgot to mention as well, Drew McIntyre, opposite of Boo Boo Face.
Yeah,
that must be so hard to do.
Yeah,
to like genuinely react as if you have won the world title when it's kind of a bait and switch. He's magnificent on every conceivable level, every second.
Here's a sentence I didn't think I was going to be saying on night two of WrestleMania, Sidge. Really looking forward to going back and watching the Philly Street fight.
Yes, yeah. I'm really going back to watching a Karrion Kross match twice.
Yes, but
you want to watch it once. Usually
they put, I mean, you talk about bells and whistles, this had it all. So prior to the match, and it's like, how on earth do you follow what's just happened in this opener? Prior to the match, they announced, not only do we have a special guest referee in Bubba Ray Dudley, of course, in Philadelphia, that got an amazing reaction, we also have a guest commentator in Snoop Dogg. We haven't watched this back yet.
No, but we've
thank
heard.
You to, yeah, thank you to everyone who's tweeted us saying, you need to go and watch this just for the Snoop commentary. Yes, I'm sure that is an experience. And the other element of this, because, you know, again, following that, it's also, yes, it's a Philly Street fight between Street Profits and Bobby Lashley and Final Testament, Karrion Kross and AOP.
Power Glove.
It's one of those ones where we all know what's coming at the end of the night. Bloodline rules, so you're never going to be able to really do anything surrounding that or matching that. A match, I think it's fair to say most people were indifferent about it. We love, you know, Tez and Dawkins and Bobby Lashley. This just felt like something that arguably shouldn't have made it onto the Mania card. And then, you know, the match starts and they, you know, there's some kendo stick shots and there's some weapons and tables and blah, blah, blah. And big beat downs and kick outs, but people are, you know. But they did something, I don't suggest that they do this regularly, they did this geniusly. A genius move from them by blinding the audience with lights to piss them all off.
The psyop.
Yeah, and then in the moment when they wanted the baby faces to either be cheered or in particular Bubba Ray Dudley, I don't know if this is coincidence or not, but whatever. When Bubba Ray Dudley finally gets into it with Karrion Kross, he's like, why aren't you, that was a three or whatever. And Bubba Ray Dudley goes, no, I'm not having this. And puts the glasses on, the infamous Bubba Ray Dudley glasses. That's the moment they turn the lights off. And it's the biggest pop of the match, without question. And eventually, the Street Profits, Bobby Lashley, take back over. And Bubba tells them to get the tables. One of them collapsed and they just went and got another one instead. In the end, Montez Ford splashes Cross. 1-2-3. Street Profits and Bobby Lashley get the victory. But yeah, I can't believe I want to go back and watch this, to be perfect.
I want to go back and watch it. I've seen the odd... So I watched it. But didn't, because I was blinded at the same time. I'm with you, I think this is a psyop. If you look at the extent to which Paul Levesque has tried to get Karrion Kross over since 2020, this doesn't shock me. If you had said to me on Friday that this is what he's going to do, I would say, well, he's nowhere near that inventive or clever. But then I saw the Damian Priest clash at angle, and I was like, maybe he is clever enough to do this. We're obviously being facetious. Maybe. Yeah, I skimmed it on mute just to make sure the bits happened where I thought they happened so I could form a coherent take. And I still don't have one because it's just messy, clunky.
Another one of those just matches that just somehow sneaked onto pay-per-view from TV.
It was crap. And look, I'm not being funny. If you cannot do anything with Final Testament with that amount of smoke and mirrors, like, it wasn't even good chaos. Like, even chaos kind of has to breathe a little bit. You have to register it. It's just messy, rushed, disjointed, this formless thing. Rubbish. Rubbish.
But the right team winning.
Okay.
Let's move on to AJ Styles versus LA Knight. Yeah! And we do that because, I mean, it's one of the most over... Yeet is obviously incredibly popular. But, I mean, Andy will admit he's been guilty of this. You drop a yeah walking through any crowd at WrestleMania and you will get a response. And this match was kind of built around just getting that reaction. You have the Slim Jim Carr and the LA Knight entrance, the people were so excited to see him there. AJ Styles has new music as well. And they brawl, and there's a big throw from the top from LA Knight to AJ Styles that looks great. LA Knight exposes the floor, but then he gets backdrop onto it by AJ Styles. There's an attempt at a Styles clash as well that LA Knight had to fight out of it. In the end, after a couple of failed attempts, yet again, LA Knight counters the phenomenal forearm. He gets AJ Styles' blunt force trauma, 1-2-3. LA Knight gets the victory.
I wish this had a stipulation. You could sense that the crowd kind of wanted to get into it more. They obviously enjoy saying yeah a lot.
Yes.
You can just say it and they'll say it back. This didn't do a great deal for me, honestly. It wasn't actively so mediocre that it was annoying me, but at the same time, it was weird. Like, this needed a stip. If you look at the angles, the home invasions, that work shoot brawl that they had, when was it? Yes. World or whatever?
Yeah,
a media
World,
event,
yeah,
of some description. It's been a long few days. It needed a stip. Didn't get a stip. It threatened to become quite good when there was an element of violence, like AJ Styles took a wicked near headfirst bump from an avalanche suplex. LA Knight,
he took a really, like the bit where he got countered with the phenomenal forearm where LA Knight knocks his legs off, he always just takes that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Just lands on the ropes.
Yeah. And there was a great moment as well when LA Knight was like, well, if I can't use a foreign object, I will rip up the board and just use what I can. That's just, you know, I'm not striking anybody with it, I'm just doing this. It's not ordinarily a DQ in WWE. So though there was elements that they seemed to understand the assignment at times, but others, I was watching them kind of run through their usual stuff, maybe laced with a little bit more animosity, but I don't know. This just didn't do a great deal for me because they weirdly sort of structured it like a shootout, pitting someone who's lost their fastball in AJ Styles versus someone who's never really had one as an in-ring guy like LA Knight. There's always a ceiling on his matches. He'll never get four. You know what I mean? And I thought this needed way more smoke and mirrors myself.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
But, following that, there was a bit between all four of us where it was sort of jabbing. I say all four, because Sam Miller and Phil Chambers are in media. We're not just ignoring them. Well, we're jabbing each other in the ribs going, after this we've got the triple threat, Bayley and Io, and the main event.
Yeah.
It was just the sense of excitement, like you say, starts building here.
What a great three-match streak as well.
Logan Paul comes out on the prime cannon, I suppose, and gets the reaction you would expect, and I really found it fun. I'm going to miss, he's inevitably going to turn, probably quite soon, Randy Orton. But I do like Pat Orton.
He's class, man.
You have the Kevin Owens making his entrance. 1 second, goes back, and he gets the cart that we saw him driving around on SmackDown. And he makes his way down to ringside. And then he reverses it.
I loved this.
For Orton to come out, and Orton sort of goes, ah, sod it, and he gets on. I went, gunned it down that ramp. I was slightly concerned Randy Orton was going to fall off the back. But yes, this was a bit surreal, because obviously it's effectively early stages, a babyface handicap match.
And yet they made it work.
Yes, because they both agree he's such an arsehole, then it's fine that the two were beating him 2-on-1. And there was, yes, there was a prime bottle there potentially to go and help him, but more on that in a while. Logan Paul is amazing. Do I want him to be the next Mr. Money in the Bank? Possibly. I know he's got a championship right now, but I just think he never misses at WrestleMania.
He's an incredible stadium worker.
He barely misses it on any show.
I know, but there's people who wrestle for years and years and years and don't understand how to play to a crowd that big. And Logan Paul, is he still in single digits match-wise?
He must be. Only just
crept over.
A quick word, by the way, on the Prime sponsorship on the ring that was there both nights.
Looked much better. Did they do it on purpose? Basically, if you first saw it, it was like a proper actual print with a blue Prime bottle originally, and now it's got that shadow effect. Looks much better. Maybe they've responded to the feedback, or they have made it look ugly bad on purpose so that when the time comes, you're more used to it and pleasantly surprised. Maybe that's a soft launch into doing more stuff. Talk them about Speed, and I want to tell you the thoughts on this match.
Okay, yeah, also very funny that when...
And tell me about Speed, I don't know who it is.
Also funny that when Cody makes his entrance and he kisses the ring, he's basically kissing a bottle of Prime. Logan Paul is so despised, people boo him. They actively chant for Gatorade and water, H2O.
Yeah.
The bit was, we'll beat up Logan. And then they sort of go, oh, we've both tried to pin him there. That's a little bit awkward. Anyway, back to beating him up. And of course, it was always going to happen. One, especially with these two people involved in it, they know a lot about betrayals. Orton went to RKO Kevin Owens. He pushed him off and was like, what the hell's that? And Orton just kind of went, eh. But in the end, Owens kicked out an RKO once we got into this. We have Logan Paul getting the brass knucks and twatting Orton with it. He kicked out of that. There was an RKO out of nowhere to Logan to put everyone down after that. And then it looked like Logan Paul was about to be beaten when IShowSpeed, the YouTuber, interfered, revealed himself with the blue thing like we had with KSI last year. And a mixed reaction. I think it's a very smart move on WWE's behalf. He's very well known to children on YouTube. Some people were like, huh? Who's that?
You can infer that he was very annoying.
Exactly.
And he played his role really well.
And apparently no one told him not to swear, from what I've seen on Twitter. Ooh. It was effing and jeffing all over the place. But
that's in now, everyone swears?
Yes, exactly. He saved Logan. Randy Orton went after him. RKO'd him on the desk. But the finish sees a pop-up powerbomb reversed into an RKO.
My god. Button press,
really brilliant that. And then Logan Paul, sneaky little git that he is, slides in, hoys Orton out there, and steals the win. 1-2-3. He's still United States champion.
Indeed, I was going to say, that's a long recap. You look thirsty.
Yeah,
this match, genuinely, I think in terms of the level of emotion, Gunther and Sami Zayn was better, and in terms of the moves and the storytelling, the main event of night two got one of the hardest things right. How do you crown a new ace? They got it perfect. I was probably more impressed by this match than I have ever seen at WrestleMania weekend, because the three big ones across, well, four, Mark Briscoe, Eddie Kingston, Gunther, Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. I'm not saying by any stretch that they are easy matches to do, but all you have to do is nail the landing. You've built the sentiment. You've got people primed and desperate for a new champion to be crowned. You've already built that emotion. All you kind of need to do is crown the champion. Obviously, build a classic match around it. Get as much drama as you can, because sometimes they look to be a formality. I'm not saying they're hard. I'm just saying this looked really difficult and tricky, this dynamic. When I saw this announced and saw the angles on SmackDown and stuff, I was like, eh. It felt like a way of shoehorning people in. And I didn't give them enough credit. Hands go up again. I did not give them enough credit for thinking, Right, why is it these two in with Logan Paul? Why is it a triple threat? Why does it all feel a little bit like we're trying to, you know, force people onto a card? Because you should be putting Randy Orton and Kevin Owens on a WrestleMania card. And then you watch the match and you're like, you're goddamn brilliant. The reversal of the car, or the ATV.
Yeah, whatever it's called.
Up the ramp to, like, pick them up on their way to kick ass together was inspired. And again, this broke rules. Broke traditional established rules of the baby face. They shouldn't have a 2-on-1 advantage. But realistically, it's always character driven as opposed to alignment driven. And if you look at Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, they've got that devil in them. Like, they always say, you know, well, I've betrayed people millions of times. In the terms of Kevin Owens, he kind of has to say this. Randy Orton's like, well, I'm a bit of a sociopath, but I'm pattern now. People like me, but I'm still an arsehole. They couldn't have picked two better baby faces to have a baby face advantage. And Logan Paul's face when he double buckshots them both after they start the hockey fight is, I've just kicked two of the biggest guys in the company's ass. Radioactive smugness from him. I just love the facial expressions in this as much as anything else. So the kick up, they beat the crap out of Logan Paul first. And then Randy's like, right, got an opening. Tries to RKO him. Kevin Owens, a smart baby face, is like, his face is like, oh, what did you do that for? Yes, a little bit disappointed. Yes, yeah. Not furious. It's better if he's like, oh, what did you do that for? It's just funnier. And then Orton's like very sheepish. He does the same face as he does during the Punjabi prison match. So that's great. And then from there, you get so many great triple threat sequences. There's not too much stalling on the outside.
No.
They do a really good job of trying to get away from the trappings of the triple threat. Like, there's so many sequences where I was like, right, I've hit you with that move and hit the other guy with the second one, I've got a chance to win, but they don't. So there's always cutoffs, there's always like momentum shifts. Really clever. Speed, I don't know who this guy is, I've seen him. He's probably like, he's obsessed with Ronaldo, apparently.
He is indeed.
Yeah. He always.
Not exactly, but I suppose it works quite well, because I'd say, as fathers, we'd want none of our children to aspire to be a Logan Paul or a Speed
from what I've seen. Yeah, he's just like total. Content carnies, basically.
He did save Logan Paul from being killed. He was going to punt his head off.
Yeah.
But
that got a great reaction. Like, I punt this guy's head off. Logan Paul is a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous heel. This match was just, I was so unbelievably impressed by how they took this strange dynamic and made it note perfect. Super creative. I don't think anyone thought this was going to be as good as it was.
I think I just as you were talking there, I think I want Kevin Owens and Randy Orton to go after the tag titles on SmackDown.
Yeah,
because
it's got a good like funny dynamic.
We all know it's going to end in tears, but that happens with half the thrown together.
That's just how wrestling works. Yeah.
But I like the fact that they constantly try and betray each other, and then they might fluke their way into tag gold. I think that could be a load of fun if they want to do something like that. Moving on, let's talk about the co-main event of the evening. It was Bayley challenging Io Sky for the women's title. Slight disappointment as the match started, before the match even started. Bayley had this Egyptian-themed entrance. And I was like, well, where the hell's the Bayley buddies?
I will say that I felt sorry for the entrance. It was just bizarre. It really was bizarre. I don't know if there was a secret story behind it or a hidden meaning or whatnot.
Possibly I've read something on Twitter, but I'm not going to speculate here.
Yeah, it's unfair in a way, because I think people projected, you got to say, oh, I have Paramore, and I'm disappointed if it's not Paramore. Like, Paramore, I don't really like them. They're a huge outfit. Can't just say, I've AC/DC for this WrestleMania, whatever. You know
I said they did also say in the week leading up to this WrestleMania, Paramore's not doing it. They're just not available. And so it was never going to happen. But the Bayley buddies was a little bit of a disappointment for me.
Indeed. Look, she had a new idea. It didn't really land. I don't begrudge her for not going back to something that used to work for her. I guess people thought it was like symbolic of the debut of main roster Bayley, for all intents and purposes, of them getting it right this time. But it's fine. I didn't mind it. I just don't think it was a good entrance in and of itself. Didn't feel like a babyface entrance. There was no fire up. It felt like a heel entrance. So I didn't think it was very good, but I thought the match was very good.
Yeah, they worked so brilliant. You forgot about the Bayley buddies as soon as the match started. It was such a great piece of business between the two of them. A moonsault early on from Io to the outside. There was a Bailey to belly for a two count from Bailey. And then we got an over the moonsault from Io in the ring. But Bailey kicks out. A brilliant exchange. There was a spot where I think Io goes for another over the moonsault. Bailey moves.
Oh my God.
Io misses, but doesn't, you know, just eat it. She recovers. Bailey went for a rose plant, and Io's reversal out of that was, it defied almost logic.
I love a front flip out reversal to a move, man. It's one of my favourite things.
She was so proud of herself.
And the agility and the endurance required to pull it off after she's already taken three massive high risk moves. Unbelievable. This match was strange in that it took a while to get going. Parallels with the women's title match on night one, where instead of Becky Lynch going for the disarmer, obviously, as she should, it makes perfect logical sense, Io Sky's going for the surgically repaired knee of Bailey. As I've said a million times across these two reviews, certain stories do not play as well in stadiums. This threatens it to become one of them until, this is a really great moment, you forget how like stealthily good Bailey is as an ass kicker. That's what was so good about the main the NXT babyface character in the first place, was the juxtaposition between this incredibly wholesome, nice girl who will stamp on your hand repeatedly and violently if you wrong her. That was the magic of the act. And I think it's easy to forget with Bailey that sunset flip bomb into the turnbuckle, like where Io's head just hit the bottom of it. I just bit of bloodlust within me, and then the match just started to accelerate from there. And I think the best thing about it was these like really, really sudden, dramatic, heart-stopping like momentum shifts. Best encapsulated by the spot you've pointed out. The spot, frankly, before we went on air, we've marked about by ourselves.
Yes.
How did you moonsault into a front flip? Absolutely incredible, like really great. Those shifts in momentum, and they were happening like deep into the second half, deep down the stretch. I thought this was really, really, really good. And as someone who just loved Bailey in 2015 and who laments how her career was ruined, quite frankly,
yeah,
this was well, well overdue.
Yeah, in the end, she hit the elbow drop, got the rose plant. 1, 2, 3. Bailey is your new women's champion. Right, let's get to the main event. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, Bloodline Rules. A lot of pressure on this. All the pomp and ceremony that goes with, I mean, Roman's entrance was jaw-dropping, as we've been talking about this morning. And, you know, Cody and Brandy's there. It was just amazing. And this sort of nervous anticipation. And, I suppose, with all the pressure of what happened last year, because it was a perfect main event right up until the finish last year. So people have very high expectations.
It wasn't just the result either, it was the finish. But the match itself last year was incredible.
And it was... It was fun to see, okay, we know it's Bloodline Rules, we know it's anything goes, and yet Roman's out there not, you know, setting the dogs on Cody straight away. I want to see if I can kick his ass normally. Yeah. And the moment he encounters a bit of resistance, a bit of, you know, Cody Rhodes, like he shoulder tackled him early just to show his power game, and he mocked him. And the moment he's in the slightest bit of trouble, he waits until Cody goes to grab him, and he's slid his arm under the ring, comes up with a kendo stick and twats him.
Yeah.
We got a great, surprising exchange of finishers. Roman hit Cody with a crossroads.
It was happening early as well.
And Cody also came back with a spear at one point. Cody also got powerbombed through the table that just exploded. It was a great visual, that. But yeah, Cody hits a spear, and then it was... basically off to the races there. These two work so well together, they feel like inevitably are going to have a third match.
You know what they do? Just to, because I think the majority of my analysis will cover off the finish.
Understandably.
What Cody and Triple H do in that ring is genuinely magic. They've got unbelievable chemistry. You know every cliche of like a WWE match, where it's like, gotta make them wait to come up, slow down the pace. Tell a story in there. Tell a story in there. This ain't no gymnastics, boy. Huh? Right. You know that cliche of slow it down, grab a hold, whatever. It's that style and that pace that WWE leans in on very much is their sort of core philosophy. Mm-hmm. Done incredibly well and not a piss take.
Mm.
Like, this is what Triple H and Randy Orton thought they were doing all those years ago.
It's a good point. Yeah, it's a really good comparison. So yeah, Cody looks like he's in control after hitting a spear on Roman, or he's taking over at least in regards to the match. And then in slides Jimmy Uso to attack him, to check on Roman, to help him drop Cody with a spear. And then Jey Uso's music hits, just so we can have one more across WrestleMania weekend of the spot. And Jimmy Uso slides out to go after him, and they brawl on the ramp. Arguably, that brawl was better than the entirety of their...
Yeah, that's what I said as well. I would say one arguably.
And then an
inarguably
terrifying spot with Jay tackling Jimmy off the ramp. The angle we were looking at, they went through some tables. It looked like Jay went straight down. I do hope they're both all right, but a perfect way of writing them both out of it. Then we got, every single wrestling fan had booked, a callback to last year. Cody Rhodes, after all that's been dealt with, gets Roman Reigns, crossroads, another crossroads, third crossroads incoming. Who slides in to hit him with the Samoan Spike but Solo Sikoa? Roman gets a two count, and they go, right, well, that didn't work. So they do the amazing combined spear spike combo, and Solo almost looks off into the day, walks off. Well, that's that dealt with. And for a split second, as everyone did, it's such a terrifying. Is he going to finish the story? Thankfully, though, Cody Rhodes, perfect timing, kicks out at 2.9, and so he's right. We're going to have to genuinely murder him now. Who should return? But John Cena, huge pep, obviously. He comes down to the ring. He fights Solo Sikoa. Those two have got a great history together, obviously, with Solo and the Saudi show and what have you. And John Cena puts Solo Sikoa through a table. The odds have been evened yet again. Well, very briefly, because the final boss comes down. The Rock, the noise, the excitement, the buzz in the building is off the scale as they have the stare down, the holy sh, this is awesome stare down between The Rock and John Cena. And Rock obviously takes John Cena out, and we all thought we knew where it was going from here. We didn't. It went in a very different direction, because it looks like The Rock's going to help Roman retain, and all of a sudden the Shield's music hits, and despite everything, despite all that we know, despite all that everyone knows, people are going, Dean Ambrose coming out.
Well, we did. I'd be interested. Let us know in the comments or on Twitter at WarCultureWWE whether you felt the same thing.
But what actually happens is poor Seth Rollins climbs out from under the ring. He's got the blonde streak in his hair again. He goes to get in the ring, and he immediately gets dropped by The Rock. And The Rock is yelling at him, yelling at Cody and Roman as well. And you think the glass is going to shatter. That never happened, unfortunately. Instead, dong.
Dong.
Oh, thank you very much for that one. The lights go out. The fans are losing their minds. The Undertaker appears in the ring. He choke slams The Rock, puts him down. Then we get another... Thank you. And Undertaker goes back to hiding under the ring, I suppose. Or runs through the crowd.
We've
seen. Anyway. And that's it. No more interference. Back down to Roman and Cody, as it should have been. And I'm more and more enjoying this spot the more I go back and watch it this morning with all the dust slowly settling. Roman climbs to his feet, and there's the belt in there, the weight belt, I mean. And there's the chair. And Roman grabs the chair. Cody's rising to his feet, and he's going to hit Cody. He's going to, you know, retain the title, etc. But then he realizes, so too rising to his feet is Seth Rollins, who, I mean, he got absolutely buried by this spot. But I do like the story, I think, that they're trying to tell here of Roman is obsessed with Seth Rollins and the breakup of the Shield. And so he has this opportunity to drop Cody Rhodes to finish everything. And instead he turns and he hits Seth, crumples him with the chair, and he turns around and Cody Rhodes takes him out. Cody Rhodes hits Roman Reigns with three consecutive crossroads. 1, 2, 3. Cody Rhodes finishes the story. He is your new world champion. People were ecstatic about this. Before we get to all of that, though, your thoughts on the whole Seth Rollins thing?
It's weird. Like, if I'm a top star in wrestling, I'm not really taking that. I'm at least saying it's all a bit of give and take, back and forth, negotiation. So I look like a complete geek here. I look like a complete geek. The fact, I understand why they did it in Shield cosplay. It wasn't an exactly subtle story beat. In fact, incredibly contrived. But my God, the fact that he was like dressed up, it just didn't, all of this sort of converged to make him look like a child, a boy in a world of really toxic men. But you kind of have to be this egotistical political shark to make it as a top star and be taken seriously as a top star. He ate a lot of crap this weekend for the cause, and I don't think it did him any favours whatsoever for me.
I'm going to let it play out purely because I think we're going to get a really intriguing element to this, and they're no doubt going to circle back to Cody and Seth 3, would it be? 4?
4.
With Seth being like, I gave you everything that weekend. I got my ass handed to me on night 1. That affected me going into night 2. I lost my World Heavyweight Championship, and then I got destroyed in the main event, all for the benefit of you and finishing the story and winning the world title. But
it's kind of a visual gag. That's how bad it was. All that build up of the theme.
But in terms of, I loved it. I think it's my favourite WrestleMania main event of all time because of all the shenanigans. We wanted this mad overbooked thing. Most importantly, we wanted Cody to end the night as world champion, and that's what we got. The Stone Cold thing, yes, was a shame. And we'll probably find out more about that as the days and weeks go on. But nevertheless, I kind of got everything I wanted out of this. And I just felt, this wave of emotion hit me when he finally won it. One of the best endings to WrestleMania ever, in my opinion.
I'm going to be a tiny, tiny little bit boring and miserable, and for lack of a better word, me about this, right? If these guys couldn't do a proper stadium main event and they needed the smoke and mirrors, I'd have welcomed them. It was just a weird choice for me. I'm going to be all over the place here, so bear with me for the next 2 minutes. It was kind of a weird choice. Like, out of everyone who's sort of like in their athletic prime, I know Roman's a part-timer, out of every core WWE guy, if I could entrust two of them to work a WrestleMania main event without any of this, it would be them two.
Yes.
But at the same time, WWE fans have, for a long, long time, when they've been talking about the bloodline and how they need to be taken out, have said, I've never seen this film. Avengers Assemble. The Avengers need to assemble. They've been speaking this into existence, yes. WWE fans. Is it not then incumbent on WWE to kind of give them what they want? Is that what this bold new era isn't about? So as much as I found this a bit unnecessary, I thought these two guys could have pulled it off themselves.
Yeah.
As much as I thought, you know, because you could just ban them from ringside or whatever. As much as I thought was contrived, because you've built this really elegant, timeless drama with this really nice, slow, the mythological WWE match done really well. And then the fact that you've got all of the entrance stings. Seth Rollins. Has Seth Rollins dyed his hair? Have we checked this?
I don't know.
We haven't checked it yet, but he comes out looking like he has. I'll better dye my hair first, otherwise I'm not Shield Seth. It's all a bit silly fundamentally, and that's what people liked about it. It was just a bit jarring, you know what I mean? It was like you had this really straight-laced title match and then that. But as I said, my objective take is WWE have listened to their audience, which is a really good thing in this era, and they've decided, well, we will do this Avengers Assemble thing. In the stadium, that dong. Oh. I don't think I've ever heard a pop like that in my goddamn life in person. So it's obviously worked to an incredible effect. You know what part of my problem was? Three wrestlers alongside formed the Avengers, not including Cody Rhodes. John Cena, Jimmy Uso, John Cena, Seth Rollins, and The Undertaker. The dead man. And I've never been a John Cena guy. I've always found him excruciating. The Undertaker, I like some of the streak matches, never my guy. Seth Rollins, not my favourite. Everyone's going crazy for these guys I don't necessarily like myself. Mm. But as I said, objectively, WWE, have listened to their audience. They've created this epic, sweeping, climactic, cinematic scene, mm-hmm. air quotes, that worked incredibly well for their audience. You know what? There's plenty of time for Cody to have traditional, pure matches. They've finished the story. The stuff with Mama Rhodes in the aftermath was beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. So, look, I'm the miserable guy on it, but as I've tried to make clear, I can understand completely why they did it. And I'm delighted for Cody just to very quickly
round this off. That's the most important thing out of all of this.
He's fundamentally changed wrestling for the better by creating a new company, a unicorn that has no right to exist in AEW, and then making WWE better, which was probably even more of a difficult job.
Yeah.
If you look at what it was like in 2019 and 2020 and 2021. He's got drawing credentials. He brings crowds to arenas in a rights fee era when you don't really need fans. We saw that during the pandemic. And if you look at the way he can do a stadium main event, he's incredible at it. It's a very hard skill, as I've said a million times. And he seems, with his like benevolent charitable gestures, like the wrestling club were in attendance, that he's a tip-top bloke. Has there been a more deserving world champion this century? I don't think so, personally.
I loved every aspect of this main event. I loved every element of Cody finally finishing the story, and I just thought it was finally a night two of WrestleMania that we can be genuinely ecstatic with. I'm so excited to go back and watch this, and I don't know how many times I'm going to watch that main event, and certainly the last sort of 5 minutes of it. It was just utter chaos, but brilliant nonetheless. Cody Rhodes has finished the story, but where do we go from here? Well, we'll find out on Raw tonight, I suppose. Let us know your thoughts, though, on night two of WrestleMania 40 in the comments section below, or on X at WhatCultureWWE. Watch that. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. But for now, this has been the WrestleMania 40 night two review. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.